Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech government approved a change to legislation that will prevent Russians and Belarusians who also possess another citizenship from receiving Czech visas. President Petr Pavel has signed an amendment to Lex Ukraine, a package of laws providing the legislative framework for assisting Ukrainian war refugees in Czechia. And the Czech Republic's postal service will abolish 2,269 positions from July. The Czech government approved a change to legislation on Wednesday that will prevent Russians and Belarusians who also possess another citizenship from receiving Czech visas, the press office of the Office of Government informs. The government already decided to hold the issuing to Russian and later Belarusian citizens last year, with the exception of humanitarian cases. The validity of this order is being extended until March of next year. At the same time, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has proposed expanding visa exceptions to Ukrainian citizens to include the possibility for these nationals to receive a visa for reasons of connecting families, scientific research and study. President Petr Pavel has signed an amendment to Lex Ukraine, a package of laws providing the legislative framework for assisting Ukrainian war refugees in Czechia, the presidential office announced on Thursday. As of July, the conditions for eligibility for humanitarian aid will be tightened. New rules will also come into force for the so-called solidarity allowance for the accommodation of Ukrainians with the temporary protection visas, as well as for free emergency accommodation. According to the cabinet, the changes are intended to increase the Ukrainian refugees' share in the cost of living and contribute to their integration into society. Czechia's president Petr Pavel wants to propose a change in legislation that would clarify the transition period between when a candidate is elected as president and when they are inaugurated as the new head of state. Mr. Pavel said this in the first episode of a new series of episodes called Podhradí, which aired on YouTube on Wednesday and is expected to be a regular program. He said that currently the president-elect does not possess an office, budget, nor any state-given authority. According to Pavel, this is good on one hand, but it should be legally clarified so that the next head of state has a clearer picture regarding their responsibilities and relevant dates. President Pavel also stated that his office, which is currently located in Hrzánský palác near Hradčany Square, should be set up at Prague Castle by the end of March. Czechia's postal service will abolish 2,269 positions from July, some of which are currently vacant, the company's spokesman Matyáš Vitík announced on Thursday. Czech Post has not yet identified the specific workers affected by the planned layoffs. The move is related to the planned closure of about 300 of the company's 3,200 branches. According to the daily Mladá Fronta, which refers to a document Czech Post sent to the Labour Office, the layoffs will mainly concern counter staff, deliverymen and lower management. An RAM-70 missile launcher named Přemysl, purchased with funds from Czech donors, will be handed over to Ukraine in just a few weeks' time. The initiative called Gift for Putin, which organises the collection, has already raised 30 million crowns, it announced on Thursday. The Czech Civic Association previously collected money for a tank called Tomáš, which has already been deployed in combat in Ukraine. Within a few weeks, Czech citizens will be able to use digital prescriptions issued by their doctor when visiting a pharmacy in another EU country, such as Croatia, Poland or Spain. The head of the State Institute for Drug Control, Irena Štorová, said at a press conference on Thursday. Similarly, foreigners from these countries will be able to retrieve electronically prescribed medicine in Czechia. Currently, they are only allowed to pick up medicines in the EU with a printed prescription. The State Institute for Drug Control will publish a list of facilities in Czechia and foreign countries which will allow the option to use a foreign e-prescription. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday will be mostly overcast with occasional rain and day temperatures ranging between 15 and 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, we'll talk about one of the highly anticipated human rights documentaries due to screen at the One World Festival currently underway in Prague, and report on warning strikes and protest marches against underfunding of academics in the humanities. Later on, what will the 2023 tourist season offer foreign visitors to Czechia? I'll be speaking to the head of Czech tourism, Jan Herget. Stay with us. Among the most hotly anticipated Czech documentaries at the ongoing One World Festival is Blicks, Not Bombs by Greta Stoklasa, which premieres on Saturday. The film is built around interviews with Hans Blix, the Swedish diplomat best known as the UN's chief weapons inspector in the lead-up to America's 2003 invasion of Iraq. Ian Willoughby discussed the film with its director.
I'm half Swedish, so for a long time I've been interested in the Swedish neutrality and diplomacy, because Sweden has a history of internationally famous diplomats. And then I think that's something interesting in this. It's a little ambiguous, being a diplomat and being able to talk to both good guys and bad guys. And so I was interested in that. And I knew this, as I say in the film, I knew about Hans Blix from Team America. And I remember asking my dad, who is this? And he said, well, he was leading the weapon inspections, but I understood that he was being ridiculed as well. And then, of course, the war in Iraq is a notorious conflict that my generation has, since it took such a long time, both the war in Afghanistan and in Iraq, we grew up with it, but not knowing much about it or the reasons why it happened. Of course, it became interesting. And then when I started talking to Hans, I realized that it was more connected to what the world looks today than I thought it was, which made it even more urgent and even more interesting.
Hans Blix is now in his mid-90s, but he still speaks extremely well. What impression did he make on you?
It's amazing how articulate he is and how sharp he is. For now he's 95 almost, and he lives for it. He loves it. He loves international politics, and he reads like 12 newspapers every day and such. But then, of course, he has this diplomatic facade that is, it took a while to recognize and to try to find ways around it.
As well as getting incredible access to Hans Blix himself, you also use a huge amount of news footage from different countries. How did you find the process of shaping all of that material into the final film that we see now?
That was a very long journey, because I was afraid that it could easily become a little boring history lesson with just archival footage illustrating what Hans is saying, which wasn't really what I wanted to go for. But I still found his storytelling intriguing. So we looked for a lot. We went so much footage. Luckily, you can find most of it on the internet. So we were browsing and we found a lot of it. And then we had a researcher. So if we were looking for something specific, we would ask her.
A lot of the viewers watching this film will be young people. What would you like people to take from this film?
I wouldn't push anyone to take anything out of it. But I would, of course, be happy if the questions that I ask Hans about, especially those ones when it gets a little more heated, when I ask him about the responsibility, his responsibility or his role in the whole this, and how much we as humans can be reduced to doing our job and how much we are taking personal responsibility. I would be happy if people were thinking about that.
Moving on now, next Tuesday on March the 28th, that's Teachers' Day, a large-scale nationwide demonstration will be taking place to protest against the chronic underfunding of the humanities in Czechia. Academic communities from arts and humanities faculties in Prague, Brno, Olomouc, Ostrava and other cities have declared warning strikes and planned protest marches, as well as a program of events open to students and the public. Anna Fodor spoke to Mirka Horová from Charles University's Faculty of Arts in Prague to find out more.
The point is to try and raise awareness about the conditions that we are working under here and have been for decades. while obviously Teachers' Day is also celebrating primary and secondary school teachers, and their pay has been rightfully and after a long struggle as well amended. Our situation is quite dismal. We are working several contracts because the pay we get from our primary job provider is simply not enough to cover the basic existential needs, especially at a time like this when prices are soaring. But it's not just the matter of recent years. It has been like this for decades. There are professors across our disciplines who have to work several contracts. This is unprecedented on an international level. We would like to raise awareness in society about our situation because we are largely unseen.
So it's a one-day strike? Can I call it a strike? Or
well, yes. It's a kind of it is a walkout. There are certain events taking place at the faculties involved. Here in the morning, we have a series of lectures and seminars that reflect both the current crisis of funding here and elsewhere across the Czech Republic, but also a series of seminars showcasing what we actually do here that's relevant for various mini courses in languages and debates, etc. And then at least the Prague event at 3 o'clock, we gather here and then we walk across the bridge to the government building and then onto the castle as a symbolic action. This is not something that we sort of choose to do out of having nothing better to do, but we felt it was important to join our colleagues in primary and secondary education and raise awareness about our own situation in the humanities across the Czech Republic.
Sometimes I feel like the humanities have to defend themselves more than other disciplines about their right to exist or something, or their use or their function. People can be quite cutting sometimes, I think, even though I think most people wouldn't want to live in a world without the arts and the humanities. But anyway, what do you have to say about that?
Right. Well, this is unfortunately not to do with the Czech Republic alone. This is a kind of worldwide phenomenon, which is to do with the increase the impact of the so-called exact sciences on everyday life and their sort of immediate pragmatic use, which is, of course, very well. The humanities having to defend their position is another kind of battle, which unfortunately also informs, to some degree at least, our situation here. The humanities have to also defend their meaningfulness in the modern age, in the 21st century. I mean, why do we read poetry for 3 years, for instance? Well, the answer is the answers are several. You gain an ethical outlook that's very valuable, especially in an age where ethics has become the sort of central issue in terms of the development of AI. And the cross-pollination between the humanities and the so-called exact sciences, or the medical sciences, the natural sciences, is vital for the development of a sustainable future. I think it's important to also say that we are part of the process. The process has begun. We are not sort of sidelined. There are many exciting collaborative projects going on. Unfortunately, funding is vital to research of this kind. And it has a lot to offer, from immediately practical disciplines like teacher training or ethics or language studies, to wherever you might imagine the informed human mind might want to go with ethical bounds. So it's contrary to perhaps a received opinion about the use of the humanities, we do factor in quite radically. For instance, in the recent Ukraine crisis, the Ukrainian department has become vital to the logistics of dealing with the crisis here. So disciplines that have been regarded as marginal or smaller suddenly become very relevant and central. And that's just one example of what we do here.
Final question, what can people do to support you if they want to?
Well, we'd be very happy for the there is a website called the Hour of Truth or Hodina Pravdy. If you just Google that, you'll be there, and the program is there, and it gives you the regional programs in Olomouc, for instance, as well as Prague, the timetable of the various things that I've described, the lectures, the debates, the small seminars. and also what happened in the afternoons. We're very happy to, you know, the interested parties and the public to both have a look at what we do, why we're doing it. There are a series of statements on the website, both in Czech and in English. And hopefully, yes, we'll be very happy for people to join us on the march as well as in the morning for the other activities.
A reminder for latecomers to the show that you're with Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature in this half-hour broadcast. Spring is in the air and the country's tourist industry is preparing for the annual influx of foreign visitors. What are the main tourist attractions this year? Is Prague still a magnet for foreign tourists and can the country hope to return to pre-COVID figures? I spoke to Jan Herget, head of Czech tourism, about what Czechia has to offer in 2023.
Czechia is full of cultural heritage, beautiful landscape, nature, national parks, and vibrant, dynamic new cities, but also old, picturesque small cities like Český Krumlov. Naturally, the main attraction is our capital, Prague, which attracts the tourists from the whole world, US, India, Israel, France. So the Prague is definitely our highlight, but we naturally try to attract foreign tourists to all destinations in Czechia, not only to Prague, but also other regions.
How many tourists come a year and have the numbers returned to the pre-COVID period?
In pre-COVID, we used to have more than 10 million foreign tourists. Last year, 22, there were 7.4 million. So you can see that we have declined regarding the foreign tourists. But the domestic tourism, so the Czechs traveling around Czechia, were on the historical record. And also our neighbor, Slovakia, so the tourists from Slovakia were more before COVID. So we have two nations that were, let's say, coming and traveling around Czechia more than in pre-COVID time, which are Czechs and Slovaks.
What do foreign tourists generally come for to this country? What do they come to see? And what would you like to draw attention to?
As I already mentioned, the main attractions is the capital Prague, Karlsbad, Český Krumlov, but also other spas and other Kutná Hora, other historical cities. The foreign tourists appreciate our UNESCO heritage. I would say that Czechia has the highest density of UNESCO places around, in the world. So there is the most UNESCO heritage on the square kilometer. But we tried to promote the whole Czechia. So, for example, Northern Moravia with beautiful Ostrava with the technical heritage, with the new the capital of beer, but also the new two candidates for European capital of culture, Bromov and České Budějovice, one in North and one in South Bohemia. And naturally, one of the most promoted and also most appreciated tourism products is the Czech spa. So not only Karlsbad, but also Teplice, but also Moravian spa.
So you're trying to get tourists to travel outside of Prague as well. But what are the conditions for that? Is the infrastructure sufficient, language skills and so on and so on? What problems do you run into there?
Not sure there are differences. There are destinations ready and prepared for all for all nations. Karlsbad, Český Krumlov, České Budějovice, they are really ready destinations. If you would go to small villages, maybe in Eastern Moravia, they are ready for German and Slovakian tourists. But to be honest, the most of the, let's say, foreign tourists that go to the undiscovered destinations are travelers, and they want to discover the destination. So they are not for the tourism trap. They are really keen to see the unexpected and at the undiscovered places, and they don't expect that everything is ready for them. But in the main attractions and main tourist destination, there is everything ready for all kinds of tourists.
What countries do tourists mostly come from, and what influences their choice?
It changes. Definitely change. Nowadays, the three top countries is Germany, Poland, Slovakia, so neighboring countries. Before COVID, there were many Asian nations, so there was China, South Korea, also Russia. One of the reasons why it changed is COVID and the lack of long-haul direct flights. So I'm really happy to announce that on 27th March, so actually next week, we opened direct route from Prague to Seoul, to South Korea. And in June, it was already announced that we will open the direct route to Taipei, and also the direct route to New York will be prolonged. So it will be not only May, September, but this year will be, I think, already in April till maybe beginning of November. So now I'm not sure, but we are working together with Prague Airport, so with Airport of Václav Havel, we are really hard working on opening new direct routes. First, it's more comfortable for the tourists. Second, it's also more sustainable, because if you fly the direct route, it's much more sustainable if you have to change the flight. So that's our focus, and it's clear that nowadays our focus, how to attract tourists, is in digital environment. So we try to work with online platforms, with influencers, social media. That's our main focus. After 2 years of COVID, we also go to the biggest travel fairs, WTM in London, ITB in Berlin, and I'm really happy to hear and see the demand that everybody wants to reconnect and wants to start a business, because after 2 years of COVID, it's really customers, so travelers and business people are really waiting and are looking forward traveling around the world and also to Czechia.
Is there anything that you can do to keep foreign tourists here for longer? Because for many of them, this is a one-day stop or a two-day stop on a European tour, and that's why they don't leave Prague. Is there anything you can do to change that?
That's mostly for Asian tourists that are doing this, Central Europe tours. I think that it what helps are the attractions. So last year we were happy to open the Sky Bridge, the longest hanging bridge in the world, in Dolní Morava. This year, in a few days, we'll open the Pilsner Urquell Unique Experience in Prague, which is kind of Pilsner beer exhibition in Prague, and also naturally it's UNESCO heritage all around the country. So the more attraction, the more global attraction are around the country, the longer they stay. That's valid for the Asian tourists that are traveling from town to town. If we take in account tourists from Germany, Poland, from Slovakia or other neighboring countries, that are a little bit different tourism products. So we call it active holiday, which means in summer skiing, in winter skiing, in summer biking, hiking. Again, last year, we were happy to announce the Czech trails, which means the hiking path around the whole neighbor of Czechia, which is, if you want to walk it the whole, you will need maybe more than 1 year, but you can do a small etap for 2-3 days. And in general, this active holiday, you very regularly stay longer. You stay the whole week. You go with the family, with the kids, and that's one part. And second part is, as I already mentioned, are the spa. The traditional spa treatments takes at least two weeks, and that it's really visible that if you compare the length of stay, for example, in Karlovy or in Teplice, is above the average of the standard length of stay of cultural tourist that goes for city break to visit the capital or to visit the, let's say, highlights like UNESCO's heritage sites.
I understand you also want to present the country's success stories, Czechia's history, its famous personalities. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. This year we have the marketing campaign that's called Traditions, and we want to show the Czechia through tradition, but not the, let's say, the tradition that used to be tradition, but the tradition that are still active and, let's say, change into the modern. As a nice example can be Křivoklát in northern Bohemia, where the long glass industry tradition changed into the tourism product, as I already mentioned Křivoklát, but we have the new glass house in Nový Bor and many nice workshops where tourists can not only buy but can also see how it's produced and sometimes even produce their own, let's say, glass art masterpiece. So I think that there are many beautiful small hidden places where the experience could be very rich and, I would say, unexpected.
Prague was long known as a tourist destination for stag parties and good beer and girls. Have you managed to change that?
Together with City of Prague, we try to present Prague as a cultural destination. Prague is full of cultural events, Prague Spring, Prague Autumn, also Signo Festival or even music festival for younger people. And definitely we try to promote Prague as a cultural destination with Prague Castle, but not only like city center, not only Charles Bridge and Prague Castle, but also the young, maybe hipster districts like Prague 7, Prague 8. I hope that also the new and planned Philharmony in Prague 7 will change the image of the city. So our aim and goal is to present Prague as a cultural destination.
Do you want to attract a different kind of tourist clientele, or are you happy with the present mix?
We definitely, this year, our focus, our priority is to attract to more tourists from Asia. After COVID, the number of tourists from South Korea, Japan, also China, Taiwan, decreased to zero. And they create, let's say, the spectrum, the portfolio of our tourists, and we need them because they spend lots of money. They like to travel also outside Prague, so we can see Asian tourists, not only in Český Krumlov, but also in Telč, in Legnice, in Brno, in Olomouc. And that's something that's our focus for this year. That's why I already mentioned the direct routes that we are working on, South Korea, Taiwan, but not only that. And we miss the Asian tourists because they are love Czech Republic. They love the red roofs of the Czech historical buildings, and we love the Asian tourists. So definitely Asia is our focus, but also North America. So let's say long haul market is our focus for this and next year.
You've already mentioned several high points of the tourist season this year. Is there anything specially that you would like to mention or draw attention to?
It's really to be weird to say it in the spring, in the, let's say nearly in summer, but what's definitely and very unique for Czechia are the Christmas markets. And I know that with sunshine outside, it sounds weird, but sometimes people from long haul markets, they plan the holiday, let's say longer period. So definitely Prague is unique. And not only Prague, but all the Czech cities are unique in the Christmas time, where it's lighted by the Christmas market. And second part, and I hope that will change also, and what we miss are the international congresses and conferences. Prague used to be one of the top congress cities in Europe. Now we hosted the President Summit during EU presidency. And that's other point that we will focus to get back the congresses, conferences to Czechia, not only to Prague, also to Brno, Ostrava. And I think that's our main point, not to attract only leisure tourists, but also, let's say, this congress tourists.
Well, that was Jan Herget, head of Czech tourism, talking about the 2023 tourist season here in Czechia. And that's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you. And remember, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for listening and take care.